Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that will be listening on other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing everyone on this Sabbath, October 7th, 2023. This is our part two review of our chapter 78 entitled Calvary, of our lesson 392. I hope everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones.
Yes, we can, dear daughter.
Sabbath blessing, my father. Sabbath blessing, everyone. Sabbath blessing, mom. We're going to ask our dear brother once more if he can hear the Tiny Tot song, which is a hymn entitled Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. You can find it in the hymn book number 569, which is 569.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Let me at thy throne of mercy find a sweet relief, kneeling there in deep contrition, help my unbelief. Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Trusting only in thy merit, would I seek thy face. Heal my wounded, broken spirit. Save me by thy grace. Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Thou the spring of all my comfort, more than life to me. Whom have I on earth beside thee? Whom in heaven but thee? Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. If any of the little tiny tots helped by their family, fathers, or even elder sibling would like to open the review section with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking us up for Sabbath morning. Thank you for the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Sixth day, shadow labor. The Sabbath day and Sabbath of the Lord. You took the Sabbath words I was about to learn and you're going to pray in me.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Dear ones, this is the section that we can be able to hear all the blessing that the little one has been in their household with mommies and daddies, neighbors, even their sibling, or even in their school. Whatever it is that you would like to share as a testimony of the little ones, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
God blesses everyone. On today's section of Mother's Helpers, Mommy's and Daddy's Little Blessing, I'd like to highlight both Haley and Emma for being very helpful in terms of in school, in the home, and even with helping me when I'm not feeling well, just to be caring and just be willing to be able to always be a helping little hand in their own little way. And I'm grateful for them to be able to have that spirit. Yeah.
Is there any other family that would like to be able to share what the little ones has been in their household? We are going to give 5 minutes that you may be able to share.
Blessed Sabbath, everyone. I like to highlight my granddaughter. I like to talk about her, but she's seldomly here. So she's here today. And I just want to highlight that she's a very good helper as well. And she always offers to help. And she wants to help with everything. And so I just wanted to let her hear that she's a good helper. You like to help?
Yeah.
Okay. So I just wanted her to hear that and share that with you guys. All right.
Maybe she has learned to say, I'll be most happy to. That's the way to answer when you're asked to do something.
Amen. Is there any other family member that would like to be able to share the blessing of those little ones among them? If not, we do still have a section for the testimony. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. We are in our new chapter, chapter 15, entitled At the Passover Supper. And this is the review section. And I will hand it in to our dear brother so he can share.
You get me a mic on here and make this is. Let's see what's happening. There, that's better. All right, the Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 1, 7, and 8. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat. Next slide. The children of Israel ate the first Passover supper at the time of their release from bondage or slavery in Egypt. And up here in the left corner, well, in the several pictures, top right and left, you see pictures of a family gathered around a table eating their Passover meal. God had promised to set them free. He had told them that the firstborn son of every family of the Egyptians was to be slain or killed. He had told them to mark their own doorposts with the blood of the slain lamb, that the angel of death might pass them by. The lamb itself they were to roast and eat at night with unleavened bread and with bitter herbs, which represented the bitterness of their slavery. When they ate the lamb, they must be all ready for a journey. They must have their shoes on their feet and their staves in their hands. And today we would say they have to have their backpacks on. Next slide, please. Our suitcases packed. They did as the Lord had said, and that very night the king of Egypt sent them word that they might go free. Why did he do that? Because he found out that when Moses said, your firstborn is going to die, he did. And that made the king exceedingly unhappy. In the morning, they started on their way to the land of promise. So many years, the same night on which they left Egypt, all the Israelites, every year, the same night on which they left Egypt, all the Israelites kept the first Passover at Jerusalem, the feast of Passover at Jerusalem. Just a second, my battery's crying here. And this feast each family had a roasted lamb with bread and bitter herbs, as their forefathers had in Egypt. And they told their children the story of God's goodness in freeing his people from slavery. The time had now come when Christ was to keep the feast with his disciples. And he told Peter and John to find a place to make ready the Passover supper. That's the story of Jesus, pages 93 and 94. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear brother. So next Sabbath, we will continue with part 2 of our lesson entitled At the Passover Supper in our Tiny Tot lesson book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take place on October 14. And now we will hand it back to our dear brothers that he can be able to share the review questions for our lesson.
All right, in review. When did the children of Israel eat the first Passover supper?
From bondage. At the time of their release from bondage in Egypt.
That's right. The very night that they were to be released in Egypt, they ate their first Passover. It became a custom that they celebrated all the way to the cross, and some kept doing it, but anyway. What did God tell them to mark their doorposts with?
The blood of the slain lamb.
Yes, they were asked to catch the blood of the lamb in a bowl and take some hyssop or something like a brush, we'd say a paintbrush, and go outside and paint some blood on the doorposts. And that was what God told them to do, because he said the angel is going to come by and slay the firstborn in every family that doesn't have the door marked with blood. And of course, the Israelites all marked their doors, and maybe some of the Egyptians, after seeing what had happened, maybe they marked their doors too. But Pharaoh didn't. What did Christ tell Peter and John to do?
Christ told Peter and John to find a place to make ready for the Passover supper.
That's right. This time, in times past, he had told them exactly where he was to do. And the last time he had a Passover with his disciples, he told them in a way that Judas would not know where he was going. He told two of the disciples, go into the city and you'll find a man carrying a jug of pitcher of water. Men didn't do that. Women did it. So this was something that would stand out. You follow that man into the house where he goes and ask the owner of the house, where's the upper room where Jesus can celebrate the Passover? That way Judas didn't know where they were going to meet until later in the day. I guess they followed Jesus around and he said, okay, let's go. And he went there, and then Judas knew where it was. So he couldn't interrupt the Passover supper
to betray Jesus, because he didn't know where it was until they got there. But that was intended by Jesus. He didn't want that interrupted. That's why Judas came to the garden later, because he knew where Jesus would be after supper. Okay. Thank you for listening. Back to Rose.
Praise the Lord. Welcome once more to all the dear brethren that are just coming in. It is time for Tiny Tots and parents to review the lesson of God's creation through nature, our part 46 of our water topic, the water of life. And our dear brother, Josh, will be the one to share.
So blessed everyone. Here's the water of life review, part 46. Our Bible verse is taken from the book of Luke, chapter 5, in lesson 12, Peter, John, and other disciples. In verses 8 to 11 says, "When Simon Peter saw, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he was astonished at all that were with him at the draw of the fish which they had taken, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.' And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Research, what is your call? Peter exclaimed, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man." Yet he clung to the feet of Jesus, feeling that he could not be parted from him. The Savior answered, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." It was after Isaiah that beheld the holiness of God and his own unworthiness that he was entrusted with a divine message. It was after Peter had been led to self-renunciation dependence upon divine power that he received the call to his work for Christ. Until this time, none of the disciples had fully united as co-laborers with Jesus. They had witnessed many of his miracles and had listened to his teaching, but they had not entirely forsaken their former employment. The imprisonment of John the Baptist had been to them all a bitter disappointment. If such were to be the outcome of John's mission, they could have little hope for their master, with all the religious leaders combined against him. Under the circumstances, it was a relief to them to return for a short time to their fishing, but now Jesus called them to forsake their former life to unite their interests with his. Peter had accepted the call. Upon reaching the shore, Jesus bade the three other disciples, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." Immediately they left all and followed him. Before asking them to leave their nets and fishing boats, Jesus had given them the assurance that God would supply their needs. The use of Peter's boat for the work of the gospel had been richly repaid. "He who is rich unto all that call upon him has said, 'Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over.'" Romans 10:12, Luke 6:38. In this measure he had rewarded the disciples' service. And every sacrifice that is made in his ministry will be recompensed according to the exceeding riches of his grace. Ephesians 3:20-7. The Desire of Ages, page 246-249. Jesus would help them by supplying all their needs if they would follow him. He will do the same for you. And over here says, "Fishers of men." And Jesus said to them, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Mark 1:17, and the sea of people. And bottom says, before asking them, the disciples, to leave their nets and fishing boats, Jesus had given them the assurance that God supply their needs. As mentioned, Desire of Ages, page 249. Jesus would help them by supplying all their needs. If they will follow him, he will do the same for you. And that is the last lesson of Peter and John and the other disciples. over on the left is, says Jesus and his disciples, which is pictures of them leaving their boats to follow him. And on the right are the list of the other lessons we've learned already. So, 1, come and see. 2, we have found the Messiah. 3, follow me. 4, Nathaniel was invited. 5, Peter fishes. 6, what is your call? And in this slide, it says, and the music of the sea. In the animal kingdom, the great deep has always been represented as being silent. Did you know that the ocean, especially the deep seas, filled with sound? There is whistling and grunting, rattling and snoring and ringing, sawing and creaking and electronic noises, snapping and snipping and crackling, the beating of bass drums and tom-toms and tambourines, as well as sounds which show there is sin now in the world, like screaming and howling, groaning and moaning. And the fish producing these sounds have names like drums and croakers, spot snappers, parrotfish, catfish, white grunts, trunkfishes, tuna wrasses, black gobies, snapping shrimps, sea robins. And below are pictures of what all these fish look like. And continue our reference reading for the Water Talk of our Tiny Talks lesson. Review, Chapter 25, The Call by the Sea, Part 2. Night was the only favorable time for fishing with nets in the clear waters of the lake. After toiling all night without success, it seemed hopeless to cast the net by day. But Jesus had given the command, and love for their master moved the disciples to obey. Simon and his brother together let down the net. As they attempted to draw it in, so great was the quantity of fish enclosed that it began to break. They were obliged to summon James and John to their aid. But when the catch was secured, the boats were so heavily laden that they were in danger of sinking. This is outrageous, page 246, paragraph 1. But Peter was unmindful now of boats or lading. This miracle, above any other he had ever witnessed, was to him a manifestation of divine power. In Jesus, he saw one who held all nature under his control. The presence of divinity revealed his own unholiness. Love for his master, shame for his own unbelief, gratitude for the condescension of Christ above all, the sense of his uncleanness in the presence of infinite purity overwhelmed him. While his companions were securing the contents of the net, Peter fell at the Savior's feet, exclaiming, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Desire of Ages, page 246, paragraph 2. Continuing, it was the same presence of divine holiness that caused the prophet Daniel to fall as one dead before the angel of God. He said, "My comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength." So when Isaiah beheld the glory of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." This is Daniel 10:8, Isaiah 6:5. Humanity, with its weakness and sin, was brought in contrast with the perfection of divinity. He felt altogether deficient and unholy. Thus it has been with all who have been granted a view of God's greatness and majesty. Desire of Ages, page 246, paragraph 3. Before asking them to leave their nets and fishing boats, Jesus had given them the assurance that God would supply their needs. The use of Peter's boats for the work of the gospel had been richly repaid. He who is rich unto all that call upon him has said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." Romans 10:12, Luke 6:38. In this measure he had rewarded the disciples' service, and every sacrifice that is made in his ministry will be recompensed according to the exceeding riches of his grace. Ephesians 3:20-7. And here's the review of the lesson. You can find the answers in the Bible. Question one, what did Peter do when he saw the fish they had caught? We find the answer in Luke 5, verses 8 to 9. Two, what did Jesus tell the disciples? Find the answer in Luke 5:10. Three, how did the disciples respond? The answer is in Luke 5:11.
Amen. Praise the Lord. As the ocean is so full of life, music, but especially sound, there's so many different species. Just like this ocean of people, there are so many different characters, ways, talents. And that's the same thing. We have to make the third angel's message and the loud cry to have a certain sound that we may try to awaken as much people as possible before the Lord's second coming. So remember, little ones, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While another thou art calling, do not pass me by. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us and those that are just coming in. Before we sing our hymn to open our review section, I would like to ask any of the brothers that if we can take a few seconds to have prayer, that we may lift our dear brother as he goes to be able to share with the church members of the invitation. Who would like to be able to lead out the prayer, dear ones?
Dear and gracious Heavenly Father, we praise your holy name, and we know that you are able to do above and beyond everything that we ask. We lift up our dear brother Rob and his family as they go to share your word with a group of people who are hungry to know more of the present truth and what is going on today. Dear Lord, we pray that you please anoint his mind and put a coal of fire on his lips that they be clean and that he is able to speak exactly what they need to hear. Grant him strength, O Lord, to face every question. Give him wisdom and understanding and peace and calmness in the midst of the questions and in the midst of the lesson. We pray, O Lord God, that the songs that are sang there are songs that drive away any clouds of doubt, any fearing and misunderstanding, and that your Holy Spirit may fill that place abundantly. May many angels attend, driving back anything, any doubtful spirits that would come in. We thank you, O Lord God, for such a beautiful opportunity as this. And we are praying, O Lord, that it actually continues to grow and the seed that is planted in others also. Thank you, Almighty God, for your mercy and grace. For truly, it endures forever. We praise you now, Lord, and pray that you'll please be with them. Thank you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And also, I would like to extend a prayer to our dear brother Isaac from Kenya. He was also invited by a group that there was a baptism, and one of the dear elected that was baptized went back to the village where they were and started to tell them how wonderful it was of their baptism, and now he was invited to be able to go to that area to share with them. Please keep Brother Isaac as well, righteous and heavenly Father, as we continue to bow before thy throne. May you extend the same, Father Jesus, for dear Brother Isaac in Kenya, that he may continue the outreach and to reach as much precious soul, Father Jesus. May you do the same and place your holy word in his mouth and have the attentive ears of all the ones that are there, that they may continue to spread and continue to give the good news wherever they may be. We ask forgiveness for any sin, Father, that our own unrighteousness may not cover this prayer, but to be lifted and may be accepted before the throne of our God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the blessing, and may it continue to swell and to awaken from among us and all the other brethren that are scattered around the world to go as far as the Lord will be able to allow them to give this message of mercy and love to everyone. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen.
Amen.
Our opening song is a hymn to a theme entitled Cover With His Life, and you're going to find the hymnal in number 412. If you would like to share the hymn with us, dear ones, you can be able to unmute your mic to do so. Look upon Jesus, him lays he, Father, impute his life unto me. My life of scarlet, my sin of woe, cover with his life whiter than snow. Cover with his life whiter than snow. Fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life is scarlet, my sin and woe. Cover with his life whiter than snow.
Deep are the wounds transgression has made, red are the stains, my soul is afraid. Oh, to be covered, Jesus, with thee, safe from the law that now judgeth me. Cover with his life whiter than snow. Fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe. Cover with his life whiter than snow.
Longing the joy of pardon to know, Jesus holds out a robe of white snow. Lord, I accept it, leaving my own. Glory, gladly I wear thy pure life alone. Cover with his life whiter than snow. Full of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, cover with his life whiter than snow. Reconciled by his death for my sin, justified by his life pure and clean, sanctified by obeying his word, glorified when returned my Lord. Covered with his light, whiter than snow, fullness of his life, then shall I know. My life of scarlet, my sin and woe, covered with his light, whiter than snow.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear ones. If anyone of the little ones, by help by their siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests, would like to open our family review with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
Have a blessing, everybody. Thank you, God, for waking up for this morning. Is it what you're about to learn, and please protect. And please protect the people out here. If people are not here, they can come. That Holy Spirit did a stop in Jesus' name, pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Our little ones are growing up. May you continue to keep all of the precious soul in prayer. Our opening scripture for our review is taken from the Sunlight Sound Studio, entitled Behold, He Cometh, a memory verse CD, taken from Revelation chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, and also chapter 4, verses 8 and 11, margin. So what have we learned in ways we have grown this week, dear ones? We are going to take a few minutes to review once more part one of our lesson from last Sabbath before we hear all the questions, the comments, or anything you would like to share from the lesson. In our part one of our lesson entitled Calvary in our storybook, The Desire of Ages, who would like to take the first paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Desire.
Desire of Ages, page 741.
Gotcha.
And?
When?
The?
They?
They? Went?
Were?
Were?
Come
to the
place
which as
is
called
Calvary
there
they crucified him
him
that
he
might sanctify the
people
with
his own blood.
Mm-hmm. Christ suffered
without the gate.
Hebrews
chapter 13 verse 12.
Okay, what? For
transgression
of
the
law
of God.
Very good.
Great job.
Continuing on the next slide, please, Haley. You are reading. The Desires, ages page 741, continuing.
Continuing. Adam and Eve were banished from
Eden.
Christ, our
substitute
was to suffer without the boundaries.
Very good.
Boundaries of Jerusalem.
Jerusalem.
He died outside the gate where felons and
murderers
were executed. Full of
significance
are the words Christ hath been mined.
Mm-hmm.
Mean,
redeemed
as from the curse of the law being made a curse for us.
Galatians
3 verse 13.
The Desire of Ages, page 741, paragraph 2.
The Desires, ages, page 741. A vast multitude followed Jesus from the judgment hall to Calvary. The news of his condition had spread throughout Jerusalem, and people of all classes and all ranks flocked toward the place of crucifixion. The priests and rulers had been bound by a promise not to molest Christ's followers if he himself were delivered to them. And the disciples and believers from the city and the surrounding region joined the throng that followed the Savior. Desire of Ages, page 741, paragraph 3.
The Desire of Ages, page 741. As Jesus passed the gate of Pilate's court, the cross which had been prepared for Barabbas was laid upon his bruised and bleeding shoulders. Two companions of Barabbas were to suffer death at the same time with Jesus, and upon them also crosses were placed. The Savior's burden was too heavy for him in his weak and suffering condition. Since the Passover supper with his disciple, he had taken neither food nor drink.
continuing, he had agonized in the Garden of Gethsemane in conflict with satanic agencies. He had endured the anguish of the betrayal and had seen his disciples forsaken him and flee. He had been taken to Annas, then to Caiaphas, and then to Pilate. From Pilate, he had been sent to Herod, then sent again to Pilate. From insult to renewed insult, from mockery to mockery. Next slide, please.
Continuing. Twice tortured by the scourge, all that night there had been scene after scene of a character to try the soul of man to the uttermost. Christ had not failed. He had spoken no word, but that tended to glorify God. All through the disgraceful farce of a trial, he had borne himself with firmness and dignity. But when, after the second scourging, the cross was laid upon him, human nature could bear no more. He fell fainting beneath the burden. Desire of Ages, page 741, paragraph 4.
The Desire of Ages?
Thank you, Joseph. The crowd. Go ahead. The crowd. You ready or not? Not ready? Next time? All right. The crowd that followed the Savior saw his weak at staggering steps, but they manifested no compassion. They taunted and reviled him because he could not carry the heavy cross. Again, the burden was laid upon him, and again, he fell fainting to the ground. Next slide, please.
The Desire of Ages, page 742, continuing. His persecutors saw that it was impossible for him to carry his burden farther. They were puzzled to find anyone who would bear the humiliating load. The Jews themselves could not do this because the defilement would prevent them from keeping the Passover. None even of the mob that followed him stooped to bear the cross. The Desire of Ages, page 742, paragraph 1.
The Desire of Ages, page 742. At this time, a stranger, Simon, a Cyrenian, coming in from the country, meets the throng. He hears the taunts and ribaldry of the crowd. He hears the words contemptuously repeated, "Make way for the King of the Jews." He stops in astonishment at the scene, and as he expresses his compassion, they seize him and place the cross upon his shoulders. The Desire of Ages, page 742, paragraph 2.
Simon had heard of Jesus. His sons were believers in the Savior, but he himself was not a disciple. The bearing of the cross to Calvary was a blessing to Simon. He was ever after grateful for this providence. It led him to take upon himself the cross of Christ from choice, and ever cheerfully stand beneath its burden. Desire of Ages, page 742, paragraph 3.
Amen. Praise the Lord. It's amazing how Simon was coming in, not even knowing that the very person that had convicted his two sons he was going to have the blessing to carry the burden of the one he was trying to come to hear about and also to partake of the same blessing that his children had. What a marvelous plan of salvation. So let us consider this verse for our review section, taking from 1 Peter 3, verse 15 from the King James Version. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What have we learned and ways we have grown, dear ones? Here are the 6 questions that we held from last Sabbath. Now we have the opportunity to share with the little ones what we have gathered in the lesson. For those that are listening in other devices and later on recording, we are going to repeat the 6 questions in case you are moved to be able to share. The first one is, who is the main character or characters? Number 2 is, what is the main idea for this section of our story? Number 3, where did the story take place? Number 4, when did the story begin? Number 5, how could you relate to the story? And the last one is, what did you learn from this lesson? If you have access to type it in the chat room or even use your mic, may you take the first one. Who would like to take the first one, dear one?
Jesus is the main character for number 1. And Simon.
Anybody else would like to share who are the characters and character of this particular lesson?
Barabbas' 2 companions, Simon, the crowd, and the priests and rulers. The answer to question 2 was the main idea for the section of our story. Jesus on his way to Calvary.
This one is a little tricky for number 3 because PTW was taken here from Pilate's Judgment Hall and is on his way to Calvary. I'm not sure if it's specified somewhere where this particular place is called or for the journey, but we know where he was headed. Where he was taken from and where he was. Number 4,
I believe that number 4 began when Jesus was having the cross laid upon him after the second scourging, and it was too much for his body to really bear.
How can I relate to the story? Well, I can see as Christ was fulfilling his goal to save us from sin. And from beginning, Adam and Eve disobeyed God's order not to, touch the forbidden fruit, but they did anyway after succumbing to temptation from Satan. And that's all of sin coming after their story came to pass. And and Christ doing this deed to save us from that gain any worse or to fall on us forever. That's how he shows his character for us.
I can relate as well in that looking at Simon the Cyrene, I think that's how you say that. Looking at Christ, automatically we should be prepared to share in his burden and be willing, because knowing what we know, that he's on his way to carrying the weight of the world, we should be looking back now. We should be ready to take part in taking our burdens, taking on our cross and following him.
A number six, what did you learn from this lesson? I saw how the Holy Spirit was working. I saw that through Simon the Cyrenian's sons, a seed was planted, and Simon wasn't a believer, but wanted to know. And as he was going, and I know that it wasn't something of his own, is what the Holy Spirit gave him, and he went and he learned and was happy to be able to bear the cross of his Lord, as it was brought out in the story. He was forever blessed. We can do nothing of our own, but what the Lord allows us to do, and that's what I learned from this particular section of the story.
Anybody else would like to share the number six, the answer? May you unmute your mic.
Well, I can only build on what was said in the way that he had that seed planted in his heart by his sons, and he was really hungry to go and find out who is this Jesus. But he did not really know that he was going to find out who he was in a very intimate way. And the Holy Spirit allowed it to come about that way, and for him to be able to have that cross placed on him, knowing who it was that whose cross he was bearing. I really do believe, as it was said early, he had a joy in his heart about it, and I don't think it is something he will ever forget again. And for ourselves also, when we are asked to pick up our cross and follow him, I believe that that is a lesson too for us to be able to know, pick up our cross and follow the Lord with joy and submission at the same time. I think it's something.
Just to add to that, just looking back again, and Simon, as we look on Christ, we are privileged to take on this cross and be a part of what he afford us to do in this path. And as we search for Christ, we will find him in a very intimate and personal way. And I think the story brings this out very, very plainly. As he set out to find Christ, he really did not even expect that he was going to meet him personally, but share also in his burden.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I would like to make a statement on what I have acquired during these particular lessons, especially one when I was reading Spirit of Prophecy. Sister White said that at the ending of time, before Christ coming, this was one of the study that he was given counsel to be able to be very much acquainted. We see our Savior say, going through from the time that he was taken from the garden when the passion went through all the way to this point. But what I would like to share is that he gave us the example that in our own life, we are going to be at crosses too. And he gave us the example of what he did. And we can also see, it's amazing that we are seeing this, the things that he went through, but at the same time, we are able to behold what the Father was doing meanwhile that he was suffering. In every step of the way, he was taking that burden, that 6,000 years upon him, but the Father never left him. Just like if we are going through something and we have to bear that cross as Christian, because living as a Christian, we are going to go through a lot of, not in the extent of our Savior, but he knows that in this human body, we are going to go through a lot of things, especially when we have to stand strong in the way how we are being convicted. And just remember Calvary, that will help us a little bit more to understand that he can see, he understands, and he is that high priest that we can now come boldly to the throne of grace because he is acquainted with all the infirmities that we do have. And it's a privilege to know that we can go to someone that had went through things that not even ourselves would get to that extent, but that he does understand. And to just give us that counsel that whenever we are going through something, if there is no other message to pick up Calvary, and you realize that we have not even suffered what it is that we really deserve. Just look upon Jesus, and he will help us to be able to understand. Bear it for me. Because why we bearing it for him? The world does not know Christ. And the only way they're going to know Christ is through his witness. We have the word, we have the spirit of prophecy, but we have our witnessing in our own life, what the Lord had done for us. And if we don't speak and share these things then with other people, the people around you or the people that you'll be in contact with, they're not going to have that opportunity to be able to know what Christ had done in your life. So by being a witness, is what has he done for your life? What has he done for you to glorify his name? What good news you have to give them? And this is what I have learned during this series of our lesson. Is there anybody else that would like to share? May you unmute your mic. Go ahead, Brother Dick. Sorry.
It was brought out by someone here recently. It kind of touches on your topic that all three of Noah's sons were represented at the crucifixion. Shem was represented by the repentant thief. Ham was represented by the Simon, the Cyrenian. He was a dark-skinned man. And Japheth was represented by the Roman soldiers. I thought that was an interesting tidbit of information that somebody gleaned somehow and shared with us, and I thought I'd pass it on.
Thank you for sharing, dear brother. We are going to proceed by God's grace. We are sharing thoughts, poem, and also special music. The thoughts is taken from a spirit of prophecy book entitled Fundamentals of Christian Education in chapter 28, entitled The Needs of Trained Workers. We are going to touch upon page 214, paragraph 1, through 214, paragraph 2, margin. And the opening of our scripture to our reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, verse 32. King James Version, and it reads, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David." Who would like to take the first paragraph here once? May you unmute your mic?
we are to compare our characters with the infallible standard of God's law. In order to do this, we must search the scriptures, measuring our attainments by the word of God. Through the grace of Christ, the highest attainments in characters are possible. For every soul who comes under the molding influence of the Spirit of God may be transformed in mind and heart. In order to understand your condition, it is necessary to study the Bible and to watch unto prayer, the apostle says. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? Let not those who are ignorant remain in ignorance. They cannot remain in ignorance and meet the mind of God. They are to look to the cross of Calvary and estimate the soul by the value of the offspring there made. Jesus says to all believers, ye are my witnesses. And continuing.
Ye are laborers together with God. This being true, how earnestly should each one strive to make use of every power to improve every opportunity for becoming efficient, that he may be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Every talent that has been given to man is to be exercised that it may increase in value, and all the improvement must be rendered back to God. If you are defective in manner, in voice, in education, you need not always remain in this condition. You must continually strive that you may reach a higher standard both in education and in religious experience, that you may become teachers of good things. As servant of the great King, you should individually realize that you are under obligation to improve yourself by observation, study, and by communion with God.
The word of God is able to make you wise, to guide and make you perfect in Christ. The blessed Savior was a faultless pattern for all his followers to imitate. It is the privilege of the child of God to understand spiritual things, to be able wisely to manage that which may be entrusted to his charge. Fundamentals of Christian Education. Page
214, paragraph 2. Further reflection. If the development of every talent given to me by God, how would it change my personal and professional life? JNN, Jesus' name above all names. Page 283, paragraph 4, devotional book.
Amen. The above question was taken from September 25th, entitled Great King, pages 283 through paragraph 1 to paragraph 4. Welcome to all the precious brethren that are coming in. We have a poem entitled Follow Me, taken from Children Activity, book 2, Quarter 3, Lesson 12, page 341 from the Sunlight Education Ministry, Homeschooling from the Bible. Who would like to take number one, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Number one, long ago in old Judea, by the shores of Galilee, Jesus spake unto the fishers, leave your nets and follow me.
Little children, hear the story, pleading through the ages dim. Who of you will leave your pleasures, take your cross, and follow him?
Now no more in old Judea, Jesus walketh by the sea, but he calleth, ever calleth, who will come and follow me?
Come to Jesus. Those may astonish. Many a dream of beauty fair. What he offers faded never. Life eternal over there.
Over there, beyond death's billows, eyes of faith can plainly see the bright mansions where he promised all his followers should be.
Children, listen to the story, pealing through the ages dim. Jesus loves you, died to save you. Give up all and follow him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brethren. And the special music, by God's grace, I combine it to scripture, and I hope by God's grace will come out okay. This was taken from Matthew 4:19 and also chapter 16:24, margin. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. If you follow me. If you follow me. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me to a life eternally. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Jesus. He is the way, truth, and life. Amen. Is there any testimony that anyone would like to be able to share before we close? You may unmute your mic to do so, dear ones. Well, dear ones, we have come to the ending of our review section of our family union. Next Sabbath, by God's words, we are going to continue with part two of our new lesson entitled Calvary in our storybook, The Desire of Ages. Who of the brethren, little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to close our meeting with prayer? May you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
If we could all bow our heads and kneel as far as possible. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for allowing all of us to come together and have Sabbath. Thank you for the words and the stories in which you've given us. Thank you for the little ones, dear Jesus, for they are being trained so well. And so thank you for giving them. They are such a blessing to all of us, dear God. As we have ended here and then we're going to begin another, just be with the speaker or and the, and all of us as we come together and read along. I pray all these things in your name, Jesus Christ, our strength and our redeemer. Amen.
In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, we are going to be on part two of our new lesson from our chapter 78 entitled Calvary. And that will be lesson 393 on October 14, 2023. We are sharing a beautiful garden from our dear sister, Jones. And if you notice that that particular flower, which is the jasmine, it grew so large like the vines. And look, it's over the ceiling. Did you see that? Isn't that beautiful? It's called winter jasmine. Thank you so much, dear Sister Joan. And we are going to continue to share other beautiful gardens from our brethren. So enjoy your nature walk. It's kind of like the fall now, but whatever it is that you can do, if you're able to go to the nature walk or you can have pictures drawn, you can be able to share it with everyone. We are blessed indeed by what the Lord does with each and every one of you. Well, dear ones, may you have a blessed rest of the Sabbath. And just leaving this new scripture and also quote, the scripture is taken from Psalm 16, verse 8, from the King James Version, and it reads, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. And from The Step to Christ, page 69, paragraph 1, margin, our growth in grace, our joy, our usefulness all depends upon our union with Christ. It is by communion with him, daily, hourly, by abiding in him, that we are to grow in grace. He is not only the author, but the finisher of our faith. It is Christ first and last and always. He is to be with us, not only at the beginning and at the end of our course, but at every step of the way. May you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones.